Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's welcome in our man, James Hamm here. James, what do you think about the Los Angeles Lakers? Would you put them up there with... with OKC, Denver, Houston as a potential, you know, a title contender, Western Conference Finals team?
I wouldn't. I think that they're a decent team. I think that they're, you know, they're in that group of teams in that next tier. And you know, do they have a chance? Sure, but I don't really know that anyone in the Western Conference has a real legitimate shot to beat OKC in a 7-game series, and I'd say the same about the Eastern Conference at this point. You know, again, I think once they have all their pieces together, maybe they've got something, but, you know, Luka Doncic, LeBron James have long histories of missing games in the league, and they still feel like the island of misfit toys to me.
I don't think Luka does. I think that's a little overblown. Sorry, I don't think Luka misses games. He did last year, but I don't feel like Luka misses a ton of games. Could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Throughout his career, yeah, I need to look at the numbers, but I think throughout his career, there's enough games that he misses that you're like, all right.
You know, that's fair enough.
Both of you guys have said this within the last 10 minutes or so, and I understand why. Because they're the best team in basketball. They are... probably going to win 70 games or the defending champions. But you guys really think no other team has a chance to beat them in a series?
I don't think
there's about three teams that they could get them. They wouldn't be favored. I'm not saying that. Like, OKC is favored in every scenario that they're in. But I think Houston could get them. I think Denver could get them. Depending on how this works out with the Lakers, they've got the firepower to be able to get them in a 7-game series.
Maybe. I mean, I just don't buy them as a legit title contender with LeBron being in season 23. And, you know, I don't know. There's a possibility. But I just think OKC, like, they're such a finely oiled machine at this point. And I think what separates them from, like, how I felt about Boston, and I really like Boston. I thought Boston would have rattled off more than one title, you know, when they were all put together. But they weren't playing well before the injury hit them last season. But the thing that I think that separates them is they just have a really, really high quality, like, next man up mentality. And they've got players at every position. They have depth at every position, but, you know, they're 14-1 right now, and Jalen Williams hasn't played, and Chet Holmgren missed games, and, you know, they've had other players miss games as well. Like, that team isn't even complete, and that you don't even miss a beat. So, you know, certain teams have this ability to just keep plugging along, and can they withstand a you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going out for a month? But probably not. And not still be like a surefire title contender. But you don't know, because every time they lose someone else, they just keep rambling along.
I know whoever, you know, the Kenny asking if any team can compete in a 7-game series with Oklahoma City. I know whoever it is. They better have some depth. That's why, you know, I don't know how Denver did it last year. I guess the heroics of Jokic and a couple of Russell Westbrook games got you in that position. But the reason Indiana competed with them is because Indiana had they had depth to their roster. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you feel like you're in a position to, especially if you're in the East, if you're Cleveland, if you're New York, you better make sure that you have, you know, guys at the ninth and 10th spot of your bench that you're comfortable going to for regular minutes. Cause that's the only way in my mind to be able to compete with that team.
Yeah, that I agree with you 100% there. I'd also say, you know, like they were in the first year mm-hmm. of getting all the way to that deep in the playoffs. You know, that's the first time that group and to be honest with you, most of those players had been that deep into a playoff like run. The year before they made it to the second round, but you know, making it all the way to the finals, and you're going to have some moments where you let off the gas and you let things happen that shouldn't happen. They were beatable last year. I don't know that they are this year, but hey, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, you don't just hand them a trophy. They've got to go win it.
Well, I mean, the Warriors went 73-9 and
mm-hmm. What happened in the finals?
Well,
what happened?
The King got them.
They're up 3-1. They closed that out.
No, they didn't.
Right.
They didn't. Oh, no, they didn't. They didn't.
Damn. They lost three straight games.
Amazingly, they came back from a 3-1 deficit and blew a 3-1 deficit, which is always what I think is the undercover crazy part about that finals. Is they were like Oklahoma City had them, mm-hmm. had them, and then they didn't.
It's kind of difficult to talk trash about the Warriors when they ended up winning the next two championships.
Yeah. And they're still competing. Unlike us, who had one glorious series that we lost to them and just decided that's it, we're done competing.
Marv Albert made sure to point that out when he talked about
the game. Yeah, no, I saw that. Thank you. I had avoided saying that, but James KC made sure all of us had to see it.
Yes.
Hammer.
That's a two on a skeleton.
Well, see, I don't think James truly commits to the bit. Like, he just kind of, he just like, oh, I could do it. He doesn't commit to the bit like you do.
Yes! And it counts!
Now, what's the scale?
1 to 10.
That's a good 7.5. Yeah, that's a good 7.5. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. He sounded... Okay, that's 8.5. That was a good one.
I told you, like, one of the strangest moments in my career is my first year. I was sitting baseline talking to Paul Westphal before a game, and Jim Gray and Marv Albert walked up, and they just sat there and just like had a normal conversation with the two of us. And so here I am sitting on the court at Arco Arena next to Paul Westphal, the head coach of the Kings, talking to Marv Albert and Jim Gray. It was just kind of like, really, this is weird.
What about when Bill Walton came up to you?
Wow,
that's one of my favorite. Yeah, Bill Walton kicked me out of a scrum first.
Okay,
that's how that story started. So I was just about to sit down with Paul Westphal, and all of a sudden Bill Walton and Jim Gray scramble over, and it was right before a game, so like we had our pregame availability that we do every game between 5:45 and 5:15. Paul Westphal just didn't do it in the press conference room. He would sit out on the floor and do his pregame. So we were just about to get him, and sure enough, here comes like Jim Gray and Bill Walton. They sit down right next to him on either side, and I think Bill Walton sat down and Jim Gray was still standing up. So I go to go over, and I'm like, okay, I should probably give them a minute. So media relations came over and like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, they just like came in and sat down with him before we could go over there. Like, no, it's media availability. Go over there and sit down and do your thing. I'm like, all right. So I go and I sit down, I pull my recorder out and I start listening, and I'm about to ask a question, and Bill Walton goes, excuse me, young man. And I look over, like, can you put that thing away? And I look at my recorder. I'm like, put it away. Like, okay. He's like, actually, could you just leave? We're having top secret television and radio stuff going on right now. I'm like, oh, okay. So I stood up and I went over. Media relations comes over. They're like, the hell happened? I'm like, Bill Walton just told me to leave. Well, that's BS. That's not okay. And I'm like, okay. So I'm standing there. And now I have my back to them. I'm talking to media relations. Paul Westwell stands up. He comes up from behind me, grabs me by the arm and says, let's go. And I'm like, oh, this is weird. So we walk off the court, through the tunnel. He flings open the locker room door. And I'm like, whoa, he's totally pissed. He has an office right inside the locker room to the left, slams that door wide open, brings me inside his coaching office, which I had never been in before, and goes, all right, what do you got, man? I can't believe Bill just did that. That was the most unprofessional. He's like, seriously, I feel so bad. That was so rude. I can't believe he did that to you. I apologize. And I'm like, okay. So I asked like three questions. It was dumb. I get done. I walk back out and I'm standing on the baseline and here comes Bill Walton. And like, God bless Bill Walton. He had had like, I don't know what the grand total was, but it was something like 17 surgeries just on his ankles alone. His ankles were fused. He had a full cage put into his back to hold up his ribs. And he came sauntering over and I'm watching this giant walk towards me, but it's taken forever. Like, it probably took him a good 2 minutes to get from half court to where I was on the baseline. And he's walking right towards me, looking at me. And he walks over and he's like, I have to apologize. That was really rude. Hi, I'm Bill. And he introduced himself. And he said, I shouldn't have done that. I don't know. Clearly, Paul Westfall had given him the riot act. Like, bro, you can't do that. He's like, my local media guys, you can't do that. And so he apologized. And later on in the night, he actually introduced me to his wife. And, you know, like, I think he even said, yeah, I was really rude to James earlier and like introduced me. And then I told Luke this story years later. And Luke's like, it's the first like story I've ever heard where my dad was rude. He's like, I believe you. He's like, but that's the first time. Normally, every story I ever hear about my dad is just how amazing and how like he like every experience was great. And my experience wasn't bad. It just was like in the moment was very awkward. And it was my first year covering the team. But RIP Bill Walton. He was actually really he was really nice to me. But yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, can you just leave?
That's a two.
I was just so taken aback. Like, what are you supposed to say when Bill Walton kicks you out? You're like, okay. Like, I guess that's what I'm supposed to do.
Damien, yeah. How could you give me a two in that situation? I was talking about James Hamm, and James Hamm was engaging
with
a private conversation we were having.
You got to throw something in about the Pac-12.
Mention Russia or something, then it'll be fun.
I think UCLA could take down Russia, the Soviet Union.
right. That's one of my favorite. Yeah. I think that is my absolute favorite James story. And even Bill, God rest his soul, he could probably play the five or four for the Sacramento Kings right now.
Yeah.
What are like? We were talking about this earlier, Hammer, with Jake, and I'll ask you. Does the true evaluation of this basketball team begin tomorrow night? Like, and I'm talking the team, Doug, the players, into all of this different stuff, because I've tried to stall Doug out a lot because I think, you know, there is no way, shape, or form 12 starting lineups in 14 games is a recipe for success. I don't think players like that. I don't think coaches like that. But I also think he's kind of been forced into that position. I think the only real true lineup change he made was the Russell Westbrook, Dennis Schroeder swap. That was a change. Everything else, I think, has been some form of survival and some form of, well, we're going to try. It's not like Precious is going to be our starting four this year. So let's see what we could do to get through this particular game. But when Keegan Murray returns, assuming everybody else is healthy, and obviously that's a big assumption given that Domantas Sabonis is out tonight, you have the opportunity to start what was going to be your starting lineup and develop a rotation. And for me, that's where I'm going to start watching things with this basketball team and this coaching staff a little bit closer.
Yeah, I mean, I think we still have to decide what exactly is going to happen once Keegan does come back. Like, first of all, of course, he's starting at the four. Like, whether it's game one or it's game two, it doesn't matter. He's starting at the four from here on out, right? As long as he's healthy, he's in there. And until they make a move and allow him to go back to his natural position at the three, he's going to be there. But what does happen with Russell Westbrook at the point? Do they try to give Dennis Schroeder like a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, look, part of the reason why you weren't able to be successful is because you didn't have enough shooters on the court. So we're going to let you see what it looks like with Keegan Murray on the court. And maybe he helps space the floor. I don't know. But I do think the real assessment of the team, you know, I would give Keegan a couple of games back to make sure that he's right. But then what do you look like? And what do you look like in, you know, we talked about the first 18 or 19 games. What do you look like from game, you know, 18 to game 28 or game 30? Like, do you rebound? Do you start to bounce back as a group and start to show some life, especially as the schedule lightens up just a little bit? I'm intrigued to see what they look like. And I think that's why I don't think anyone's making some panic move or anything right now. The plan has always been and will always be to assess this team in year one and to make changes as they become available and to be opportunistic, which is something that, you know, again, we heard from the previous group, but in this situation, it really is to be opportunistic. But I think what separates this this front office versus a previous one is in this situation, opportunistic, I don't believe means to go out and get some way better player. Opportunistic means to clear the decks. If there's a way to make a big trade, to do something that brings back picks or that just gives you some sort of relief from this cap hell that you're in for the next two seasons, I think that that's what they're kind of waiting for. And there's always a possibility that we see something like the Kuminga trade pop back up again or some other big trade that might speed up the process here of reinventing the roster. But I do think that everything is on the table with this group, where the previous group, it was always trying to be opportunistic to add the next piece, which they never did. So that's where I think there's a little difference.
You talked about it a little bit, Hammer, but do you see a scenario? Let me take that back. How do you see the scenario with the minutes playing out? Like, who might be the get the short end of the stick? Is it Precious? Is it Keon? Is it less Malik Monk minutes, less Schroeder minutes, like less Westbrook minutes? Like, who do you think gets the short end of the stick and all that?
Yeah, I think it's everybody, to be honest. But I also, I mean, you didn't mention Drew Eubanks. I think once Keegan's back, I think there will be more of a conversation about who's going to be the backup five, whether it's Eubanks or whether Precious steals some of those minutes, just because Precious is a more versatile defender than Eubanks is. I think, again, Eubanks is a much better offensive player than Precious is, but I think that there will be some discussion there. The fact is, though, when you put in a player who's going to play 35 minutes a game, those minutes have to come from everywhere. And I don't think the Kings are ready or are in a position right now where they can say, hey, Neat Clifford, you're not playing anymore. We're, you know, because Keegan's back, we've got to get, you know, give all those minutes to DeMar, and we're going to have to spill over minutes from the 1, 2, 3, 4 guards that we have that have to play, maybe even five guards when you count Keon Ellis. So I think, you know, Doug already mentioned it, that minutes are going to get really tough, even for Keon, more difficult to get minutes when Keegan comes back. But I do think that this team will have defensive lineups. And I think there will be just a different way to make your rotations work with Keegan back on the court. Just because, again, I think this team has been completely hamstrung the first 14 games by the fact that they never have more than one legitimate shooter on the court at any time. So now you're going to have two on the court at any given moment, and for every moment that they can have two shooters on the court, you're going to see a rotation that does include Zach LaVine shooting and maybe some Keon Ellis because of his shooting, but also with Keegan and then Malik Monk being like the fourth shooter that they have, where they might be able to have rotations where you always have two guys on the floor to space everything out.
Hammer, can you take care of this little piece of housekeeping for us? A bit unclear. Can the Sacramento Kings sign Keon Ellis if both parties wanted that at any point here during the regular season, or is this something that has to wait until the off season?
No, it has to wait until February 9th. I was able to get that cleared by someone within the front office.
Okay.
Like there's been some back and forth on that, whether it's Keith Smith or it's, you know, like any of the big Bobby Marks and all that stuff. But I was able to go to someone in the front office and say, hey, just what does this look like? And they said they have to wait until February 9th.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, I expect them to actually, like, if he's still on the roster after the trade deadline, I expect them to approach and potentially give him an offer. Like maybe it's not what they're looking at. Maybe it's not for the dollar amount that Keon wants. And maybe Keon would prefer to go into an unrestricted free agent situation. But that's also like the tightrope that Doug has to walk between now and February 9th. Like you have to show Keon that he's part of the future of this team. Cause if not, like, trust me, there are a bunch of teams out there that want Keon Ellis and the Kings know that. But there are a bunch of teams that not only want Keon Ellis, but are probably looking at mid-level exception type money or really close to it. You know, they would prefer something like a 4-year $48 million, but like if someone has to go the full, you know, 4-year, roughly $60 million with a mid-level exception, then sure. They can, you know, go ahead and offer that with a mid-level.
Do you look at Keon as do you think the Kings look at Keon as somebody that they want to move forward with? Like we have all this talk about the playing time and all this other stuff, but Scott and Doug are like, we want him here. We just have a certain price for him, but we absolutely want Keon here. Do you think the Kings look at him like that way?
Yeah, I think they do. You know, whether it's to bring him back as a long-term fit or it's to bring him back as a player on a reasonable contract that you might be able to move down the road, they do look at him as an asset. You've heard Doug Christie talk about just how much he likes Keon and that how many conversations he's had with Keon. I think he sees a lot of himself as a defender in Keon, just a younger, you know, again, I think we all think of Doug Christie, the player who came to Sacramento. But you have to remember that Doug was what, 29, 30 when he got to Sacramento, and he had a whole bunch of failures in his career before then, whether it was being drafted by Seattle and not playing, getting traded to the Lakers, getting traded to the Knicks and having Pat Riley tell him on day one, hey man, you're not going to play. And him sitting next to Herb Williams and learning how to play defense. And then him finally getting his opportunity in Toronto before he eventually ended up in Sacramento. But like those are years that you're not only do you mature as a player, but your body matures. And you just become like usually a wiser, smarter basketball player. And I think we're still in that process when it comes to Keon. You know, Keon's only a third year player, just like Keegan is. And he's going to make mistakes. And he also is playing on a team that doesn't have a true role for him at this point, where even last season's team had a true role for him as a defensive 3-and-D guy to come in. Once you change the dynamic of the backcourt when you traded your starting point guard for a starting shooting guard and a shooting guard that's going to play 30 to 35 minutes a game, it really did kind of like change the early career trajectory of Keon. And so now you got to figure out how he fits.
I have a lot that I want to ask you about what you just said, so it's going to take longer than 90 seconds. So we're going to step out. We'll come back. We got more with James Hamm ahead of the Sacramento Kings game tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder in Oklahoma City when Dylan and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's there now?
Nothing. It's open for rent. Yeah, somebody can rent it out.
That's one of my other great stories. I ever told you about my time at Incredible? Okay, so I was with a group of buddies. We went to Incredible Universe. I think I was probably 18 or 19. So this is a long time ago. And when we go inside, if you remember, they had a karaoke booth, right?
Vaguely.
Incredible Universe had this cool karaoke booth. So we walk in and there's a big line of people, and Olden Polonese is there signing autographs.
I think I was there that night. No cap. Like, that's what I remember about being there for Olden Polonese autograph night. Yeah.
Okay. So I got in the end of the line. I was the last person in line. I walk up and I'm like, hey, I don't really want an autograph, but would you go sing in the karaoke booth with me and my buddies? And he's like, no, come on. And I'm like, come on, man. I'll let you choose a song. He's like, all right. So Olden Polonese and me and three of my buddies went into the Incredible Universe like karaoke booth, and we sang Teddy Bear by Elvis. Me and Olden shared a mic, and then my three buddies were on the other mic, and we were singing, they were singing. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
OP singing Elvis Presley. Oh boy.
Yeah. Any good voice. Big deep voice, yeah, like exactly what you'd expect. Yeah, and he was super nice. I mean, he was incredibly nice, and I've actually, you know, run into Olden quite a few times since then, and like we always have a laugh. Yeah. I think he came on the podcast one time.
I wasn't there that night, so I guess I just didn't get to.
Yeah, well, where were you at?
I wasn't invited to the party. We were talking about Keon Ellis a few minutes ago, and you know, I think Keon Ellis is certainly one of the mysteries of this offseason, or the mysteries of this early part of the season, I should say. in that everyone is asking, you know, we want more Keon minutes, but then we get Keon minutes, or we get Keon starting and it doesn't really go well. You talked about he's a third year player. He's going to make mistakes. He has made some really frustrating mistakes in his minutes on the floor so far this year. I don't even know that he has made the most of his time on the floor this year. Is that something you think the Kings front office will hold against them? You mentioned, like, this is a team that doesn't really have a role for him. The makeup of the roster is pretty rocky. Like, do you think that that's something Scott Perry and his team are taking into account when trying to evaluate him as a player? Do you think they've already decided they know who he is as a player and they like him, hate him, love him, whatever the case may be?
I mean, I think it can be a mixture of everything, right? I think the Kings know that there are teams around the league that and sort of what they would pay for Keon, like whether it's via trade or whether it's going to be this offseason when he's an unrestricted free agent. Like, I don't think the Kings are dumb. They have a pulse on the league, which I think is pretty accurate. Like, this is Scott Perry. The one thing he does do is he knows everybody and he talks to everybody. And so that's one of the things we learned the first time around, that there isn't a person in the league that hasn't met Scott Perry and hasn't had some sort of relationship with him. And so when it comes to Keon specifically, like, look, I do think that this could be where, you know, for right now, like, there's not a whole lot you can do because you do have these high priced guys in front of him. But eventually the season, it sure does feel like, is not going to be about the season. It's going to be about what happens after this season, what happens at the deadline, what happens next summer. And at some point, you're, as an organization, you're either going to have to commit to somebody or you're not. And so if the season continues where the Kings are, you know, 8-10 games under 500 and you're getting closer to the deadline, there should come a point where you're like, hey, you know what? We've got to put Keon in and just go ahead and let him run. Mm-hmm. I do think he's made a lot of mistakes, but I also look at him as a player who not only is he fighting for minutes and trying to show that he's worthy of more minutes every time he steps on the floor, but he's also in a contract year. And sometimes that doesn't go perfectly well. Sometimes you're a little, you know, amped up when you go out on the court. And that's what it looks like to me. He's just overly excited and just makes, you know, silly mistakes that we aren't used to seeing Keon make, you know, over the last couple of years. I also think there's something about being one of the few players, and this is what I worry about Keegan as well, being one of a few players on a roster that isn't a self-creating playmaker, you know, like that doesn't go get their own buckets all the time. Because in order for Keon to be successful, it's kind of contingent on other people like giving him the ball. He doesn't naturally bring the ball up except for, you know, sometimes he brings the ball up, but just to initiate the offense, and it goes right to, you know, one of the other playmakers to start the offense in some sort of motion. And so Keon is always going to be limited to what he can do by whether or not his teammates are being selfish or not. And, you know, it's not always about being totally selfish, but whether they're willing to allow him to succeed as well. And, you know, we can go back to the game a couple of weeks ago where what did he hit? 5 3-pointers, 6 3-pointers? Like this team is better if Keon Ellis is playing well. It just is. It's proven over the last 2 years that when Keon is good, you don't usually lose those games. That's why he went like 8-0 to start his career as a starter. You know, it's why his record as a starter is really, really good. So when we get one game of him starting and it just looks off and he plays 14 minutes and Doug goes away from him, that was partially because he wasn't playing all that well, but it's also because some of the players around him were playing extremely well. And I'd even point in that game specifically, Zach LaVine didn't play in the fourth quarter either. And that's because Dennis Schroeder and DeMar DeRozan and Malik Monk were all having good offensive nights. And I think there has to come a point where you stop caring about what their offensive nights look like, because it doesn't matter what some of these guys do on the offensive end. It doesn't. It's first and foremost, there is no flow to that offense when they're doing those things. Secondly, they're not doing the defensive stuff to stay on the court. And I do think that one of the main reasons why Keon has had a difficult time staying on the court is because they have better rebounding options at his position. And I know that sounds really weird, but when you're down your second best rebounder and you're now game four into Domantas Sabonis missing games, and when you don't have your, you know, 20 to 21 rebounds a game between Domas and Keegan, you're done. You're shot. There's no way to compete in those games unless you're hitting every single bucket. And so I do think that when you look at Nick Clifford, when you look at Russell Westbrook, even Malik Monk, they're all better rebounders from the guard position than Keon is. And it's mainly out of need. This team just has a need for rebounding because they're missing their top two guys. And I think that that's one other avenue when you do get your starters back, when you do get Keegan and you do have Domas and they start rolling and they start playing the way that we're accustomed to seeing, you might be able to see more Keon Ellis because you're not so much worried about the rebounding numbers as much anymore. And even, hey, look, Devin Carter is a much better rebounder than Keon Ellis. And I hate to say that you're not going to play a guy because he's not a good enough rebounder, but when you're losing the rebounding battle by 18 a game, then yeah, you are going to go with guys that know how to rebound at every position.
James, I'm going to piggyback off a question that Damian asked earlier. I think when Jake was on, I ask it to you. Do you think that us as a collective have overreacted a little bit to the start from the Kings about the team that they are, who they are, and who they might be the rest of this season based off of, number one, the win-loss record, but also that homestand where they just got beat up? Do you think there's been a little bit of an overreaction to how we view this team?
I mean, I would like to say yes, right? I would, but here's the problem that I see. Usually when you're a group of players at the NBA level and you get off to this type of start, it kind of becomes like who you are. And I don't know that getting one player back who plays defense and hits threes is going to change who you are. And so I worry that like the damage has already been done. They already have lost faith in what they are this season and who they're going to be. And they're also all probably a good portion of them looking at what an escape clause in their lease looks like because they're worried that that trade season's coming. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they get Keegan back and again, let them have a couple of games to get rolling. And then this team starts playing much better and they start rolling through a softer spot in their schedule and they get closer to 500. And all of a sudden it's like everyone can take a deep breath. But I do feel like when you're 3-11 and probably going 3-12 and hoping to somehow go 4-12 tomorrow, you know, that's a pretty brutal indictment on who you are as a group. And it's really difficult to flip the script and become something bigger than you are today. Now, it's not impossible, but it is, you know, it is difficult to sort of change your stripes midstream in the NBA, even if we do consider the schedule and the injuries. And also, like I think one of the things I'd point out is that it's not just Keegan that's missed games. Again, this is Domas's fourth missed game. I think Malik Monk's missed three. Zach LaVine has missed two or three. Like it feels like there's always somebody who's sick or who's out or is not feeling good. And it just feels like the whole season has almost been like a group of players that aren't 100% committed now to what's happening. And maybe some of them are looking and saying, okay, well, you know, maybe it's possible that when Keegan gets back, he'll save us. And we'll have the real Kings show up, but it's also possible just, you know, again, that the equivalent of, you know, David Carr as a quarterback has happened here where they've just been sacked so many times that, you know, they don't want to get back up anymore. We're just going to have to wait and see the resiliency of this group once it's all said and done.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You brought up trade season a second ago. Casey and I were just having a conversation where if we have discussed, and James, you have outlined repeatedly the obstacles in trading the likes of Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis and some of these bigger contracts, even the bizarre difficulty in trading a really good $18 million Malik Monk contract. But if you've been reading the different things that are happening around the league, there is a potential that someone like Trae Young is available. Trae Young has a player option for his contract next year at $48 million. We've talked about everything that is going on with Dallas right now and the $50 million that's owed next season, $50-plus million that's owed to Anthony Davis and the $30-plus million that's owed to Kyrie Irving in the first year of his extension. And you realize not only will the Sacramento Kings face difficulties of trading high-priced players because they are high-priced players, you realize there actually could be a large market of high-priced players who are on the move over the course of the next 2 months or so.
Yeah, that's totally true. But the problem is that I think the Kings and other teams that are in this situation are going to face is these stupid aprons, man. The aprons just restrict. Like, it wipes out like a huge percentage of the NBA population that could potentially trade. And let's be honest, the teams that have high payrolls are usually the good teams. And those good teams with high payrolls that might say, hey, Anthony Davis would really put us over the top here. Like, some of those teams are the ones that are already hard capped at, the first apron, hard capped at the second apron or above the second apron. And when they're at the second apron, like, the restrictions are crazy. Like, you have to trade dollar for dollar. Like, you can't aggregate players in a trade. So that means that if somebody wants to, let's say a team that's 20 million over the second apron, they want to go out and get Anthony Davis. They have to have a player who makes more than Anthony Davis to pull that trade off. Mm-hmm. Or they have to have a player that makes a dollar more than Anthony Davis to pull that trade off. So it really does become restrictive. And that's why, I think when we start seeing some of these like multi-team trades, where it's a team that's not over the second apron, but it is a team that's over like the first apron or whatever. Like, they're a little easier to work with, but again, I mean, the Kings can't take back more than like, at this point, more than like $5 or $6 million above what their salary is right now in a trade. And that's typically how you would sort of facilitate these trades, is to have a little bit of cap space. So if you do need to take back an extra player or two to make the financials work, that you can. Well, the Kings can't even do that because they're locked in at the first apron because of the sign and trade for Dennis Schroeder. So yeah, it's complicated, man. I don't know how they, like, it's going to take a deal like what we saw Bill Simmons throw the, you know, into the trade machine the other day, where, you know, there are two or three teams involved that like makes sense for everybody, a soft landing spot for somebody, but makes sense for everybody involved.
It's literally Bill Simmons' greatest idea ever.
That was a fantastic trade. I know the initial one didn't work, you know, per league rules, but there was some like additions, like Sarr goes to the Celtics instead, and
yeah,
just the basis of what that trade was, I thought that was great for the Kings. That would have been, if it were to happen, that'd be a godsend.
Yeah, actually, I think the trade works for everybody. Yeah. Like, to be honest with you, I think Malik Monk is, again, I don't know that he's a better player than Anfernee Simons. I don't know. You know, again, I kind of put him in the same boat. I think Anfernee Simons is miscast as like a starter and would probably be better as like a really, really good six man. But I also, you know, when you make 27, almost 28 million bucks, if you're Anfernee Simons, it just puts you in a really difficult situation because the Celtics aren't going to pay that moving forward for you. It's a 1-year deal. So if you're looking at having to extend Simons, and even if it's 25 million a year for 3 or 4 years versus getting Malik Monk at 3 years at 60, you'd probably go the Monk route. They're around the same age. There isn't a huge difference in that. And the other thing is that Malik Monk has proven that he's really, really good off the bench, where Simons is still, you know, bouncing back and forth between a starter and bench minutes. So sometimes the unknown of what it's going to take to re-sign Simons and all that stuff is more complicated than just going with a player like Monk, who, again, knows his role and is really, really good at that role and could really help a team like the Celtics as like a third or fourth scorer.
Is there any chance if the rumors, reports about the conversations about Malik Monk and the trade market this past offseason were accurate, do you think he has done anything through the course of the start of this season to change anyone's mind?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think he's played really well. Right. Like, I don't think he's had like a major dip in production. I think a lot of what happened this offseason started to get into the gray area in the NBA that is what you call an exit strategy. So, you know, a lot of teams, when they want to have a divorce from a player, they start putting out little tidbits here and there that lead you down a path to what it is that a player might be and why they may not particularly want to be in that relationship anymore. And so, you know, again, I think this is something that happens around the league where all of a sudden, you know, this didn't happen with Malik when it, like, very directly, but like you hear, oh, he's got some questionable work ethic. And you're like, okay, well, what does that mean? Like, does he not show up or what? And, you know, he's late to some meetings. Or maybe he's not as close to his teammates as people make it seem. You know, there's all of these little things that you start to hear when you're talking about trading away the pizza guy, who is everybody's fan favorite. You know, I think even like us as a group, like some of the stuff we've heard, our mentality has changed on Malik. And it's human nature. You hear some of it and you're like, oh, well, that's not great. And you start to have a little bit of a different thinking on who he is as a player or a person. And again, a lot of times that's straight up just BS that a team is throwing out there. So when they do trade him, their fans are like, oh, you know, we love Malik, but we started having some problems here. We kept hearing about these things or that things. That, to me, it felt a little disingenuous on a lot of it. But then again, like, you hear some of the things that are out there. Like, we've heard that, like, the Warriors aren't interested in Malik, and it's not so much about Malik the player. It's more about his relationship to Mike Brown and how that situation played out, and how the Warriors love Mike Brown because he was their lead assistant for 5 or 6 years. So you start to have these little bits of like breadcrumbs. But again, you watch Malik Monk play on the court, and like, he brings the joy. Like, he's a game changer. I don't care if it's, you know, even this season, they're bad. And every time Malik comes on the floor, at least you're like, okay, like, at least there's excitement. At least he's doing something, and he looks like himself. He doesn't look like some shell of himself, or, you know, some guy who refuses to play defense or anything else. Like, he's energetic. He's again, to me, there aren't that many game changers like him in the league. There just aren't. And I think he is one of those guys that has an ability to change the energy in the building. And there should be teams lining up to kick the tires and see what it takes to get him out of here. You know, again, a team like Orlando, I've brought this up before, like Jonathan Isaac's got this big old long contract that's non-guaranteed. If they want to throw in a late first round pick from Malik Monk, even if it's way down the line, like a 2031 or something, and just swap contracts, yeah, okay. You know, that's where, like, I do think Monk has value to this team. And I'd also, you know, like, again, if you start stripping down a couple of the bigger name players on this deal, on this team, and you're left with Malik Monk, you're left with Russell Westbrook and Keon Ellis and, you know, Keegan Murray and, you know, whatever you get for some of these other bigger price pieces, I don't see a reason why Malik Monk can't be part of the next generation of the Kings, because he's 27 years old, 27, maybe he's 28. He's right there. But he's got plenty of time to figure this thing out and to be the same type of player that, you know, Bobby Jackson was for this team for years, where it's just that spark plug off the bench that changes the complexity of the game.
From Jason Anderson, the Memphis Grizzlies are listing Jaren Jackson Jr. as doubtful for tomorrow night's game against the Sacramento Kings due to a right ankle sprain. Of course, Ja Morant is still listed as out, as he is dealing with a right calf strain. So tomorrow's shaping up to be an interesting night for the Sacramento Kings on many fronts. Tonight, not so much. It's not our job to sell you on watching the Sacramento Kings. And, well, if you don't have anything else to do, throw it on. And I have no clue what tonight's going to look like. Obviously, we'll all be locked in. James, you're going to have to work overtime to get 6 quick thoughts on this one. But the league is weird, man. Who knows? We saw Chicago. Obviously, Chicago's a very good basketball team. They shut down Denver's win streak a couple of nights ago. Denver didn't even look competitive in that game until the fourth quarter. It was like they slept through it and then tried to turn it on. Weird things happen in the league. And that would pretty much be the entire synopsis of tomorrow's show. If the Sacramento Kings were to win tonight, it would be weird things happen in the league. I don't know what else to tell you, but that would be it.
Or gutsy as hell.
Yeah, and it could be that. I mean, a lot of people have been questioning their effort. Their head coach has been questioning their effort. So we'll see what they look like tonight when they take on the world champion, Oklahoma City Thunder. A quick reminder, you can head over to ESPN1320.com and nominate someone for High School Player of the Week. I thought we were announcing our first Player of the Week yesterday at 3. That was wrong. That's me. I was a little too eager. It's actually next Tuesday at 3 o'clock. So there's still plenty of time to get your submissions in. If you've already submitted, it's all good. It counts. Go to ESPN1320.com and submit. The rules are right there. Everything you need to know for the submissions are right there. It's a chance to showcase the local athletes here in Sacramento, and we're really excited about doing this because it's not just an ESPN 1320 thing. This is going to be on 102.5 with me and KC. This is going to be on the End with the Wake Up Call. It's going to air across our 6 stations. It'll be with Abe. It'll be with Justin Case and everybody else on the Eagle. So again, head over to ESPN1320.com and submit for a high school player of the week. All of the rules are right there on the website. And we'll be back tomorrow morning beginning at 10 a.m. to discuss whatever happens tonight and lead you into the conversation for Keegan Murray's season debut against the Memphis Grizzlies tomorrow. So we'll see you at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings like the beam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.